We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast, sponsored by WinBet Sports. If you can bet in your locality, please use winbet.com. I'm Jeff Erickson. My guest today is the great Christopher Harris from harrisfootball.com. How's it going, my man? How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, Jeff.
Of course. Getting ready for another season. I know you just have been rolling with your division previews over on your podcast. So you just kind of got started, what, 2 weeks ago?
Something like that. Beginning of July, I do 4 weeks of two shows a week, two podcasts a week. And then, once August comes, it's 5 a week. Yeah.
Okay. Very good. And I know, of course, you were busy all the way through the draft as well, doing a lot of stuff before you took the little bit of time off the summer. So you can do some writing, as I know you're a prolific writer as well.
Yeah. Well, and also doing this stupid almanac that by now I hate.
Oh yeah, of course. So biggest news is obviously Cam Akers got hurt. Or the news came out yesterday about Cam Akers rupturing his Achilles tendon. Awful, awful news. I think that broke like right before I was starting a baseball podcast yesterday morning. And it's terrible, you know, and the track record of players coming back from that, running backs coming back from that injury is really awful too.
Yeah, not great. I was in the middle of doing my show. Our mutual buddy Jake Seeley was in the middle of asking him a question about the Saints or something. And there was a long pause and he goes, I don't know if I should interrupt you here. Cause you know, it's not live. So we're taping it. I don't know if I should interrupt you here, but Cam Akers just tore his Achilles. And I was like, hold on. So we didn't talk about it in our segment, but I'd already recorded the open of the show. Right. And it was pretty pedestrian, not a lot of news going on. And all of a sudden I was like, I guess I better re-record the open of the podcast, which I did. Not good for the kid. It's too bad. Not good for the Rams. I don't believe for one second that they're not going to sign someone else. You know, I think that's nice. But not great.
Yeah, it's not great. So let's talk about what we do know about Darrell Henderson. I don't want to like speculate on how much he's going to get used who the Rams are going to bring in, because they could bring in a lot of different players, and we'll address that when they do. But just watching Darrell Henderson play,
it's Darrell, right?
I always thought it was Darrell, so could be wrong. I guess I should get the pronunciation guide and find out. Watching Henderson play, what do we know about him?
So he's, you know, he has ridden the hype, the various directions of hype that you can ride. His rookie year, people were, and it's probably not the same people. Hype is generated by different people, right? But during his rookie year leading up to, we were told, definite feature back. You should have seen him at Memphis. A lot of college scouts very, very excited about him. And then he barely played, right? He didn't play much his rookie season. Coming into last season, it's like everybody completely fell out of love with him. Probably different people, right? But the market, I felt like, undervalued him last year for what they said his potential was 2 years before. And, you know, I think as of like week 10 last year, I think he was in the top 20, 25 fantasy running backs. He hadn't been great, but neither had Cam Akers been. There really hadn't been much production at all. And right. What I'll say about Henderson is he has, you know, more characteristics of a satellite back, more characteristics of the other guy. And it's very clear. Well, I wouldn't say it's very clear, but it's towards December of last year, Cam Akers really took that job over, and Henderson right. was more that satellite player. And so what goes along with that is, you know, quick and relatively speedy, not a burner, but, you know, definitely can move a little bit, and never really showed you a ton that was physical. And when Cam Akers came in and really had that great run in December and then also into the playoffs, he was very physical. You know, she sort of brought a different look to the Rams offense. So my feeling is probably that's what Henderson is, that he's more of a perimeter player and more of a speed option, even though he's not the super speed guy. And I don't think he's a shrinking violet, and I don't think he's incapable of being a you know, relatively powerful player, but it's not, you know, he's in that 200-pound, not going to knock a guy over if the guy has him squared up kind of player, and Akers will. So I just, you know, I had to do intermediate ranks just because we don't yet know what the Rams situation is. And I went in the like 23 to 24 kind of rank among standard league running backs, and not too different from that in PPR either. But I do feel like it's a placeholder.
Yeah. And you just, we have to do something, right? And you have to put them there. Now, about your ranking process, do you run projections, or are you just rank? Not, I mean, just say just rank, but do you rank, or do you use projections to help you in the ranking process? Because
Jeff, let me tell you, I take the coward's way out and just rank.
Yeah, it's not just rank. Cause you know what? We're talking about this. Liz and I were talking about this on Monday, what goes behind the process. Projections are there in part because people play in so many different leagues, and right. you don't want to have like eight different sets of rankings that you have to update every single time according to each sort of leagues. Right. You can do it if you want to have a proxy where it's driven by the stat projection. Well, then it's there. Plus, people do auction leagues and things like that. People want to have that in front of you. We didn't really always rank by this. And when I first started doing this, we ranked it, and that was actually better in a way. Sometimes you get beholden to your projections in a way, and then that spits out your ranking. You're like, it's not really what I wanted to do, but I look at the projection and it's fine. I was like, but the projections are just this kind of conjuring. Anyhow, it's not.
Can I say that in a different way? Can I say that?
Yes.
Projections are baloney.
Yes.
Projections in baseball are very worthy. I used to cover baseball long, long ago for ESPN, yep. and they're very worthy. Because you're as long as the guy doesn't get hurt and is a major league player, you have a certain number of at bats coming towards him, and you know, you feel like you've got a sense of what the guy does with a certain number of at bats. It's just not the way the NFL works, and I specifically stay away from projections for exactly that reason. It's because it is a shortcut to doing multiple ranks, and instead I just make myself do multiple ranks. But but no, I'm not doing. What I'm trying to do is weigh the rather than projection. I'm doing expected value. I'm trying to, in my mind, multiply the probability of all the possible outcomes mm-hmm. against all the possible outcomes, and then add it up and come up with what I think is, you know, what you could relatively expect. So, yeah, I do take the coward's way out.
I don't think it's a coward's way out. I think might be a smart way out. Yeah.
I'm just teasing you. Right. But like, so for Henderson, in that almanac thing that I do, I watch a crap ton of film, and I rewatched a little yesterday, but I wrote his profile probably back in, I don't even know, June or something.
Right.
And I give everybody a film grade across a few different dimensions. And just to give you a sense of my assessment of him, I gave him a B+ for speed. I gave him a B+ for elusiveness. I gave him a C for power.
How about pass catching? Did you evaluate that?
I gave him a B, which is not, what that's saying is, oh yeah, this guy had 16 catches. Like, I think he can catch it okay, but you know, they really didn't throw it to him very much. They didn't really throw it to the backs at all that much last year.
Right.
So, I hope that at least puts people in the mindset of what I think of him. But you know, of course, that's fungible and very subjective as well. I think someone like Peterson, I don't think Duke Johnson is the right fit for the Rams. People went crazy on Twitter, like, Duke Johnson's just sitting right there. He's in his prime. And I think Duke Johnson and Daryl Henderson have a little bit more of an overlap than I would want them to. I think a bigger guy like Cam Akers.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, Duke Johnson is not in his prime either. I would say he's post-prime. I mean,
did he have a prime?
A little bit. I mean, you know, if you look at like the, you know, aging curve of running backs and all that, I'd argue that he's post, but you know, he's always, I mean, I know you one of your, was it your first or one of your earliest YouTube videos was on Duke Johnson and just how good he is as a receiver and just how good he is, period. But that was when he was with the Browns.
Good player. I think, you know, yeah. He is a satellite back. I mean, he's 27 years old. So like, he's taken no punishment. He's, you know, he hasn't.
That's true.
Not many carries, but I just don't think that's the right fit for that particular team. Because if Duke Johnson is your other back, that means Daryl Henderson has to be your goal line back, has to be your main dude. And I myself don't expect that turns out to be the case. Although there's this kid, right? Xavier, what's his name?
Xavier Jones, right?
Jones, who I don't know anything about and have never seen play. There's no film on. So like, maybe we're all being led down the primrose path and it's going to turn out that Xavier Jones was the guy.
Yeah. You could just watch college film from SMU, or, you know, you can look at Jake Funk's college film and all that, or you could wait to see what the Rams do in the offseason. So I've got Daryl Henderson in a dynasty league. You know, it's kind of a little like, oh, so I have this on my hands. I feel like the Rams are going to do something else.
Right.
And now is about as good as a time as ever to see what I can get for him.
Yeah.
What would you look for?
Sure. I think it would depend on what else you have. If you felt pretty set at running back and you didn't really need the lottery ticket, that Daryl Henderson was going to be a big, you know. So let's paint the other side of that situation. Ram offensive line, when last we saw it, you could make the argument it was the best in the NFL. It's a really good offensive line. Those things change. I wouldn't want to bank on an offensive line staying great because they often don't. It's sort of a chemistry year by year, even with the same unit. Sometimes they just sort of lose their way. So I don't want to paint that as like, I'm positive the Rams offensive line is great and any running back carrying the ball behind it is going to be great. I don't know that for sure, but there's a chance. There's a pretty good chance. I saw it happen last year. So you can tell yourself, dynasty otherwise, you can tell yourself that Henderson finds himself in a good enough situation that I just kind of want to let it ride. It's not an automatic sell, but all this is by way of getting back to your team. It's like if you felt like he was your fifth running back and you've got three other guys, you're like, these are my starters, then I'm kind of with you. You might be able to get – you'd probably be looking at another position. You know, you probably wouldn't be looking at running back, but you might get a really good receiver.
Yeah. To be honest, I'm not thrilled with my running back situation, but it's like Swift, Gaskin – Mike Davis, who's also
I think at that point
very transient value. Yeah, maybe I should hang on.
Because I might be wrong. I'm not even really saying he can't be a good player. I'm just saying he's never been used in this role. If we go into week one, and Daryl Henderson is the lead running back, and it's roughly the same Ram offense. If anything, Matthew Stafford is. If anything, sort of more reliant on a traditional running game because he's not Mr. Play Action as much, right? He's going to run around. He needs a little misdirection. He needs the defense to not be chasing him at the snap. And, there's a scenario where Henderson proves capable of the job and we just haven't seen him used in that way. But the fact is we haven't seen him used in that way. We kind of have to go based on what we've seen him do, and anything else is a projection. And I think the Rams will be doing themselves a disservice if they don't have a power back, and maybe it's this Jones kid, but I don't think it's Jake Funk.
All right. Well, there you go. Maybe they trade for Carlos Hyde or something like that.
Sure. There could be a funny trade. There could be it's funny. I find myself in the exact opposite situation in La Liga Lebowski, which we talk about sometimes. My big, you know, big dynasty league. That there are like hundreds of clone leagues fans who run our crazy dynasty rules, and I have Cam Akers in that league. It was going to be the Akers and Saquon Barkley show, and it's not.
Oh no! Well, do you have you already done your draft?
Not the veteran auction. But the rookie draft, the rookie draft is back in June. But the problem with this league is it's like it's contracts, and you know there's five or six good running backs a year who are not under contract. So the auction takes an hour and a half because most of the players are kept from year to year.
Makes sense. That makes sense. What's a quick note here from one of our sponsors? Let's insert that right now.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And we're back. Very seamless. You didn't even notice that we just had a note from one of our sponsors. But anyways, I'm here with Christopher Harris from harrisfootball.com. A couple other quick news items, and we'll move on to general draft philosophy. But I want to talk a little Aaron Rodgers. It's the specter hanging over a lot of our drafts. We don't know if he's going to play or not. He turned down a contract extension. Does that matter to you?
I don't think it's even a story.
Okay.
I think it's a bunch of nonsense that we don't have anything to talk about on July 20, whatever. And like, I know Adam Schefter personally. He's a friend of mine. I really like him. And he can only do what he can do with what he's given. And right. Aaron Rodgers isn't talking to him. And so I'm going to guess that the team is. The only way he found out from anybody that Aaron Rodgers was talking contract at all was the team, and the team trying to make themselves look good, positioning themselves. And they say, I'm not saying they're lying that they didn't talk contract, but do we know anything about the guaranteed money in that contract? Do we know anything about voidable years in this supposed contract offer? This contract offer that was supposedly making him the highest paid guy for a lot of years or whatever. All we know is something was offered and Rodgers laughed at it.
Yeah.
Was it a laughable offer? See, here's the thing. The Packers I understand why Aaron Rodgers feels the way he feels. First of all, he just doesn't like the general manager. And second of all, they took a quarterback in the first round. They drafted his replacement. Of course he doesn't feel great about it. Of course he's saying, dude, either commit to me or don't commit to me. Don't give me the whole, don't do to me what you did to Brett Favre with me, right? Of course he's pissed. Of course. Like, why wouldn't he be? I don't think this is news. I think this is, if you could put a piece of paper in front of me, or if Schefter could put a piece of paper in front of me and say, this is the exact offer Rodgers turned down, and we could go, oh, well, that was a pretty legit offer that would have made Aaron Rodgers the quarterback for the next 6 years, and Jordan Love would have had to go somewhere else. I think we would all go, man, yeah, if Rodgers didn't take that, that really says something about his intentions, right? But given that it's just like, oh, yeah, there was a piece of paper over there, and it had some words on it, Jeff, and and he turned it down, and what a jerk, right? It's clear he's screwing the Packers. Like, this is PR.
I agree. I absolutely 100% agree with you on that. And especially the way contract negotiations are dealt with in public. Same thing. It goes on a larger scale when it's players association versus management, you know, all the talk about the offers that are made. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's PR versus PR. However, there is that concern is he going to sit out? Are you concerned about that?
Yeah. I mean, of course that doesn't mean that what the implication of the story is implying isn't true. We flat out don't have the information.
Yeah.
And as a media Borg, as a media conglomerate, as a media entity, the NFL media does not do good with not knowing things. It fills in gaps, right? And so,
right.
100%, there's a concern. I have so far assumed that rationality will prevail, and that the, I don't know, let's see, most valuable player of the NFL will somehow find his way back into the team that he just played for, and that team will find a way to make it work in the short term, at least for one more year.
Yeah.
And so for the moment, I've kind of just said, listen, I got to rank for the purposes of August 1st. That's when my big book comes out and everybody reads it. And for the purposes of now, I go, Aaron Rodgers is my QB2 and Devontae Adams is my wide receiver 1. And I understand that other people at the moment are saying, no, I have to, if I was doing a draft this second, I would have to bake in the idea of Rodgers not playing, and therefore I can't get him above QB8 or whatever. You know, my point is, you're not drafting now. If you're drafting now, you're making a mistake. Let's not draft now.
I'm drafting on Friday. I'm making a huge mistake.
Right. Well, what kind of league is it?
It's NFFC RotoWire Online Championship, the first Beat Jeff Erickson draft.
Right. So, like, you know, it's, oh, fine. If for the purposes of that draft, if somebody wants to downgrade the Packers because of the uncertainty, I'm with you. Fine.
Yeah.
You could downgrade them a little bit. But for the moment, I'm keeping everybody where they are because And then there does come the question, all right, training camp arrives. The Packers report, I think, a week from Monday, yesterday? I can't remember, but something like that. You know, if he's not there, which I don't think we know at all. I don't think anybody expects one way or the other. Then I'm going to have a decision to make.
Yeah.
About whether to downgrade him. But I still don't think I will, because I still think he plays, because it just makes too much sense. It'd be one thing. Brett Favre, when the end came, we remember what that was like. We're old, Jeff.
Yes, we are.
That was a bad end. He didn't play well at the end.
True. It's true. And meanwhile, Rodgers was amazing last year. So, you know, that's where, you know, he's not at that point in his career. People thought he was 2 years ago. People thought he was 3 years ago. There's a reason why they were looking to draft his replacement. It was a rational thing to at least be thinking towards the future a little bit. It could have explained it a little bit better. Maybe communicated with him a little bit, but
who knows if they did or didn't. It's really kind of not their job. There's no argument. It's just that when the facts then change and you realize you have the best quarterback in the league playing for you, you then adjust and you go, okay, cool. Well, here's Jordan Love. Here's this property who we can develop and keep as a backup, but we could also Steve Young him, you know, and that's happened before, right? I think, that's not me saying, and that means the Packers are dumb and they've handled this wrong or whatever. My point is that nobody's handled anything yet. We don't know anything yet.
Right.
So to jump to conclusions that Rodgers is a jerk or that the Packers have done some hugely disrespectful thing and, you know, owe their fans an apology or whatever, I don't think either of those things are true yet. Let's see.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And it's a possibility he doesn't play. Like, Lev Bell was like, how could he be rational? Well, in his mind, he was rational, and he got paid. So maybe it worked for him. So there you go. You know, it didn't work on the field, but, you know, he got his paper.
It's a possibility anybody doesn't play, that anybody's mad about their contract and doesn't play. Do you really believe that we know enough now to say that Aaron Rodgers is way more likely than the average player?
No, we don't. We don't. And I think that's just the point.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
All right, one more. Saquon Barkley, unsure about his return date. You know, probably won't practice this first week of training camp when the Giants do report. Uncertainty for week one. There's a lot of, again, a lot we don't know. There's a lot of black box stuff there.
But those are the kinds of black boxes that aren't going to get answered.
Yeah.
When a player is coming off such a massive injury and he's a running back, the only thing that could come out is negative. The only thing that comes out is bad. Only thing comes out is swelling, knee swelling.
Yeah.
You know, there's really no upward mobility in what I'll think of Saquon Barkley, and I'm probably the biggest fan that he has in the industry. He was my number one last year. He's been my number one every year he's been in the league practically. He's not this year because we just don't know. We can't know. I don't care that he won't practice the first week of training camp. I find training camp mostly to be completely useless as a source of news. The only thing That's not entirely true. There, you know, I care what happens in the Saints training camp. Of course I do.
Right.
Can Taysom Hill throw a ball? That matters, right? But in the case of someone like Barkley, if he's himself, we have zero questions about him, and he is what he is. But he carries risk because surgically repaired knees sometimes don't respond great over the course of a full season. When you have one, and if it's negative stories, we go, okay, let's change it. His knee's swelling. We have to probably put him running back 30. Let's not draft him. Let's just let someone else take that risk. So this particular news doesn't matter to me, and I don't imagine there's really a lot of change coming, unless, which I don't really expect, but unless we get the whole, yeah, his knee's swelling, he can't practice back-to-back days, it's a girly type situation.
Yeah, and that would be hideous and horrible, and hopefully we don't get there. But hopefully we get more than Rocky Balboa-like beach training camp workout videos also, because that doesn't move the needle either.
You know cousin Josh from my show, and he loves those.
Yes, of course. I do the show with Liz, and we went back and forth on that for a second for a hot second, right before the FSGA draft, I think that was. My guest here is Christopher Harris. Quick note: Sports Gambling Podcast Network is joining us this year. The Sports Gambling Podcast Network is your home for the most entertaining sports gambling content. Sean Green and Ryan Kramer host the flagship Sports Gambling Podcast, getting you ready to make money on the NFL, where they've picked every game against the spread since 2011. SGPN also has you covered with the College Football Experience. The College Football Experience has a preview episode dedicated to every one of the 130 college football teams at the top level. SGPN also covers fantasy football, MLB, golf, MMA, NHL, NBA, and more. If you can bet on it, they cover it. If the free picks and podcasts weren't enough, they're also giving out a free shot to win $100,000 during NFL Week 1. That's right, a free roll for a chance to win $100,000 exclusively on their new SGPN app. Download the SGPN app in the App Store or the Google Play Store for tons of free picks, free podcasts, and free prizes. Remember, SGPN doesn't sell picks, they make them. All right, Chris, I want to talk a little bit about general draft and evaluations philosophy, because this is the good stuff. It's not just like speculating in the news and all that. The first thing one of the things I really like that you do is you make an emphasis on looking at what the player does, watching the film, looking at what he's done, not just looking at the projected role, guessing what coaches are going to do. I'm doing the time-honored technique of making a statement and trying to turn it into a question, but, How did you kind of evolve your fantasy football analysis into becoming more film oriented?
So as I mentioned earlier, I was at ESPN for 8 years. Yep. And when I started, I didn't really do anything regularly. I didn't really do this. I lucky to find the job at the time when fantasy sports was just about to go boom. And I came in and was part of a team that covered a lot of different things. And so I covered a lot of different things. I came in writing about baseball. I came in writing about football. I came writing about NASCAR.
Yeah.
Fantasy NASCAR. And also being on TV for all these things. I was part of the original crew of NASCAR Now.
That's amazing.
I used to sit next to Dale Jarrett. He was so nice. By the way, Dale Jarrett, such a nice person.
That's awesome.
So nice. And obviously he was like, probably in the back of his mind, like, who is this jackass telling me who's going to win at Talladega? Like, He doesn't even know anything about it. I'm the first one to admit it. I'm approaching it from a more of a math perspective, more of a stats perspective. And that was really the way I looked at all of it. I looked at baseball the way I still think we all look at baseball. I don't cover baseball anymore, but when you're talking about, we talked about it earlier. When you're talking about baseball, it's a 600 at bats and tell me what's going to happen. I got a lot of great data, very repeatable batter pitcher interactions that are 600 times a season, pretty repeatable from year to year. You're not going to get some weird, wild, and it kind of lets you build a model of the world that you expect, and then you can kind of compare that model to other people's models and also what the market's doing, and they find
right.
Value. It's just very mathematically pleasing to cover fantasy baseball or to cover baseball at all. And I took the same approach the first couple of years with football too, and I was like, I suck. We all suck. We're wrong all the time. We guess about what the depth chart is, and we guess about what the who the top receiver is, and we say they have to throw it this many times, and we're wrong every year, and we're all wrong in exactly the same uninteresting ways. There's all this groupthink about, well, who else is there in that backfield, right?
Right.
And I just sort of started to realize that those first couple of years, I was a lot better analysis-wise on the Patriots, on the teams. I'm in New England right now, right? And I
right.
The Patriots. I apologize. I can't help it. I predate the obnoxiousness of winning all those titles. And I just came to realize that, yeah, the way you find out who's good usually is just by watching them play and saying that guy is good. And the best methodology that I could come up with to become better at my job was to usually the good players are the ones who poked through and had good fantasy seasons. That's clearly Jameis Winston has had a very great season for fantasy. So we're not saying it's always true, but it seems like the most reliable truth. And there was a point in my relatively early in my ESPN tenure where I decided, hey man, if you guys can get me all the games over the course of an early week, I'll watch them all and I'll say who I think is good. And so that became what I started doing. It became a terrible, terrible curse upon my house. it costs me no, you know, there's, I watch so much football. But you know, it's kind of grown into this thing where of course I'm paying attention to depth charts. And of course I know who's produced good numbers in the past. But I develop opinions on who I think is exceptionally good and maybe who is being graded as exceptionally good, who I think isn't, who will Alex Collins his way out of the league as it were. And that's kind of how, that's where it came from. And so, yeah, if you, during the football season, Jeff knows, we live near each other. We're golf friends. Jeff knows, like, during the football season, you can't bother me on Monday or Tuesday.
No.
Because that's what
no.
I'm doing.
No. You know, and you're introduced me to Brett Coleman, and he does great film work too. And, you know, he worked for NFL Network. And, you know, I think the tricky part is, yeah, we watch a ton of stuff, but then you start looking for certain things, how to watch it probably has evolved with you too.
I tell you, I wouldn't be a great, I don't know. Like I feel like, yeah, maybe it's just because I watch so much of it that I don't feel like I have a conscious mechanism to go like, let's give him a four for that play. Like it's never anything quantitative. It really isn't. It's just about, did I think that showed exceptional burst compared to the other 600 running plays I just watched this week? You know, I'm one person and I'm having to watch 16 games a week a lot of the time. And so it's going by real fast. I'm almost like scrubbing the film across my eyeballs over and over. And I'm not saying I catch everything. And I'm not saying I know for sure that I recognize every incredible play it just feels like qualitatively the guys who stand out from the ones who don't stand out, it just becomes, I don't know if I, do I have a technique? I feel like I just kind of watch and go, ooh.
Is it it's the Justice Potter technique. You know, I know it when I see it.
Yeah.
Right?
It is. It's a little bit like, I'm sure it's not really that. So Brett's a good pal of mine too. Have you guys ever met in person?
Not in person. I had him on the pod last year, though.
Yeah, yeah. Like, so Brett's a pal of mine. We hang out, too. You and I hang out. We should all hang out. When the end times are over, we'll all hang out. Because he's right. In L.A. also. Well, he's not quite in L.A. You know, L.A. adjacent. And he and I, on my YouTube channel, maybe 3 years ago now, we did this thing called Film Don't Lie University.
Okay.
And cause so like Film Don't Lie became like kind of, that's kind of the motto of my show, right? One of the many mottos of our stupid podcast. And so we tried to do a series of videos where we talked about, all right, we talk about all this stuff. Here's what it looks like when we think a running back has good change of direction. Here's what it looks like when it looks like this running back has great burst, or this route runner is a really great route runner, or this quarterback has a strong arm as opposed to not a strong arm. And people can still find, if you go to the Harris Football YouTube channel, that's still up there. Just look up Film Don't Lie University. It was awesome. What's that?
I will check it out now. Okay, I definitely see it.
So like, and it's the two of us talking for a while, like just, and then showing clips. Like we actually show game film and say, here's what we mean. And it was great. And it was awesome. And people loved it. And we got asked, hey, would you do it again? Would you do it again? And Brett and I talked about it. And we were kind of like, we feel like we did it. We feel there's not that complicated. A lot of times it seemed like when we were doing these videos, it was like, if a defender, it's almost like watch the defender. If the defender's faked out and falls down, that means that guy's pretty good. You know, if a defender reaches to a place where he thinks he's supposed to be and he's not there anymore, that means that guy's pretty fast. If a route runner is just consistently losing a man-to-man coverage. Like, here's how to tell it's man coverage. And if he loses him, that probably means he's a pretty good route runner. Like, it really feels like you know it when you see it, because it's really just about the defense not being able to account for exceptional play.
Right. And this all ties in to, like, when, you know, you do your rankings for the week, for the season, because it's what you see as opposed to, like, oh, I'm going to guess about the role this year. You know, I'm going to guess. And that's the thing that you're strongest. And this also ties into your thing. Why you askew ADP? Like, when you're talking, like, you're telling me, hey, I don't know the ADP right now. It's like, I know you don't. I know. And I that's one of the reasons it's great to talk to you right now, is because you're not a slave to ADP.
Well, here's the thing. I really don't think anybody, other than industry type things that you're talking about, I don't think anybody should be drafting until August 15th or whatever. You know, just don't. There's too much that's going to happen. The Cam Akers injury could happen August 10th. Well, it could happen anytime, right? But I want my league to draft as late as possible. Everybody feels that way, right? You want your league to draft as late as you possibly can, because you don't want the trick that once you've done the draft, now some massive injury comes. And so, for the first half of August, I just want to be able to talk. I have a big platform. I'm very thankful that I have a lot of people who listen, and I just want my opinion to be my opinion. I want to be able to just talk to you about what I think the players are capable of.
Right.
And it's not like I'm saying I'm pretending that Kareem Hunt doesn't play in Cleveland and therefore I love Nick Chubb. You know, it's not like that. I'm very aware of the depth chart, and I'm aware of who the better player is, but the other guy's pretty good too. And this looks like a little bit of a cluster. I'm weighing all that stuff in. I'm also trying to weigh in talent, I think, a lot more than a lot of other people do. And I just want my opinion for a couple of weeks to be able to say my opinions on players out loud, have the audience hear it, and not have it tainted or colored, let's use a better word, by this notion that, oh, there's great value in this guy. Like, there's time for value. There's time for sleepers. There's time for busts. There's time for that. Really, it's not the first couple of weeks of August, in my opinion. It's more valuable for my audience to be able to hear me say, I'm excited about what Matthew Stafford does for these receivers, and here's why.
Right.
Rather than having to get into the conversation of, and the market is stupidly low on him, and you should be taking him in the sixth round. That comes. I do 20 shows in August. There's plenty of time, right?
Right.
So my philosophy has just been to stay away from ADP. And of course, a little bit of it filters in. You know, people know that about me. So on Twitter, people are like, where do you see Rodgers' ADP? Where do you see, I don't know, you know, Nick Chubb's ADP? And it's fine. I don't care. It's not like I'm, you know, it's poison to my ears. But I don't think it's helpful right now, because what does it matter who our sleepers are on July 21st? It doesn't matter yet.
But the thing is, the trend is going earlier and earlier. I mean, hell, there's all these drafts in March now before the NFL draft. There, you know, there's a lot of best balls then. And then immediately right after, there's a lot of, you know, the dynasty leagues are starting to fill in. But, you know, there are, like, fishbowl drafts started, you know, right after the 4th of July, and it's
sure,
done.
But do you think that's a good, like, these are best ball. The reason best ball exists is because people are bored.
Yes.
And want to do a draft, but don't want to have it count. So anybody I accidentally draft in the 13th round who's good, I just win, right? So who cares what the freaking ADP is for that? Doesn't matter. Like, and for the purposes of fishbowl, like, great. I love Scott. He's a guest regularly. He's a really great person. Love him. Mm-hmm. He does the fishbowl on July 1st for a very specific reason, and it's not to produce the most competitive, awesome fantasy league. It's because that's when people are not paying attention to anything else.
right.
Like, and I'm not going to build my model of how I cover fantasy around these artificial events that aren't going to be competitive leagues.
For sure. And I think the argument in favor of an early draft is before ADP settles and people start, like, latching on to your guys, you can get them maybe a little bit earlier than you, I mean, a little bit later than you would have otherwise. You can get more of your guys. I think that's the argument in favor of a draft.
Okay, I understand, but you tell me what's a more powerful incentive. The notion that I'm doing a draft months before it matters, when I can get some of my guys, and then Cam Akers gets hurt.
Yeah. It's the Jordy Nelson argument all over, too. Yeah, I get it. I get it. And I think in your biggest leagues, you want to draft as late as possible. For 100% agree with that. Then just don't be like me and play like 17 leagues and then You can't fit them all into the last 2 weeks. You just physically can't.
Here's the problem with you, Jeff, is that you're too nice and you're too beloved in the industry, and you get asked to do so. See, you just got to be curmudgeon and a jerk like me, and then nobody asks. Which isn't true. I'm in a lot of leagues too, but
yes,
probably not as many as you. I don't do FSGA. I don't really go to the conventions and stuff anymore. I did them so many times, and There was that one that was in LA, and I was in LA, so I went. There was the one in Tampa 2019. Is that right?
Yep. We were there to get. That's where we were starting to talk about Crown League together.
Right. I went to, I'm doing that, by the way. That's happening.
Are you? It is. Yeah.
It's now the Hall of Fame League. People. Okay.
I'm looking forward to hearing about it.
I'm not as much of a beloved figure inside the industry as you are. I don't think I'm unbeloved or anything, but you know, you're Jeff
Erickson. I think you're the bigger name than I am, but especially for football.
I said beloved. I'm the imposing person. Everybody is like, oh, really? Ooh, that guy.
Know thyself. Quick note from our next sponsor, Dynasty Owner. Experience the fun of fantasy football and the strategy of running an NFL franchise at dynastyowner.com. Dynasty Owner unites the fun and excitement of fantasy football with the skill and strategy of the front office and the business side of owning an NFL franchise. Build a roster of NFL players using their real-world contracts, easy enough for me to say, and salaries while staying under the salary cap. Compete weekly against the other teams in your league as you score points based on the player's real-world performance. Visit dynastyowner.com to sign up. All right, a couple more things.
Can I just mention Dynasty Owner? They're sponsored for me too. Have you played?
I haven't. I hear it's good.
It's really good. So I played last year. They were sponsored my show last year. I think I might have been like the pilot. They sponsored me for the first time. It's really cool. It's really cool. People should definitely do it.
Yeah.
Like the emphasis. So I hope Tim gets to hear this because I'm saying it. I'm not getting paid to say this.
Right.
The whole idea is you do a draft and you have a salary cap and you have to consider their real life contracts. That's the whole shebang. It's like, it's this. They have a patent. I don't think anybody else can do this. An Aaron Rodgers type contract makes him not all that valuable because it's massive, right? You're looking for the cheap guys, so then you can afford the massive guys. It's crazy. Like Tom Brady didn't get drafted, I don't think, in my league last year.
Wow, that's wow. That's huge.
The money.
Right.
It's really, really cool. So people should check it out. I'm sorry to
hijack. No, you're helping our sponsor, and it's a good sponsor. We like that. We like that. So, yeah, check it out. Highly. And maybe I'll have a franchise. I know a couple of our guys do. So I'll check with them, see, and maybe I'll just jump on with that. I think Joe Bartle did it, and so did Jake Matarski, did the Tuesday podcast for us there. So definitely check it out. Okay, a couple more things before we let you go. What's more important, individual player evaluation or draft structure? Like how you – like I you know – how your league is set up. Is it more important to have like this draft plan or is player evaluation the bigger difference maker?
What's more important to you, eating or breathing, Jeff? I may be
false choice, huh?
I'm throwing the flag on the false dichotomy, but you know, I would say I don't typically go into drafts myself with a positional strategy. Mm-hmm. I usually go in thinking more players, especially in the few early rounds. I just kind of want to see what comes to me and whether I feel like, wow, I am valuing this player a lot higher than my league mates are. I really can't let him pass me by. I'm more likely to have that feeling in my drafts. But then once I know who I've taken early, often my draft very much becomes structural, let's put together a team where I feel like, oh boy, I took a big swing in the third round. Now I need to make sure I back something up with something a little safer at that position. Or maybe I just want it to be the big swing team and complete feast or famine team and let's go big swing after big swing after big swing. So I certainly am thinking both things, but I do think I'm probably early on, I'm more thinking about the player than I am about like my team structure.
Okay. And it's funny because we have a question in the comments, Mike asking like how many running backs do you draft, what rounds, when to switch to wide receivers. I don't want to be that dogmatic. If the draft is giving me five awesome receivers, well, I'm going to take them because I want to get the best players, period. And injuries do happen. This year, you've seen this huge emphasis on trying to get early running backs because people are deathly scared of getting held without them. Like 11 of the top 12, 13 of the top 14. You see it on and these are industry drafts usually, that you see this more often than anything else. And yes, yeah, again, don't know ADP. It's okay.
I really don't.
Yeah, but I've seen it a lot, and part of me is like, I can't do that. Part of me doesn't want, you know, really wants to push back against forcing that. But at the same time, yeah, I do also know that there's a point where I'm not very happy about the running back pool. And I want to make sure I don't get left holding the bag. It used to be that zero wide receiver was a big plan. Then it started being like 3-4 people would do it, you know, get wide receivers in the first round, and 2 or 3 people would get like 3 receivers to start their draft. You don't see that anymore.
I think you might. Once we got, we're reacting way too strongly to last year. All the running backs got hurt, you know, so everybody got left holding the bag. A lot of people who play multiple leagues, in some league you were in, you got left holding the bag because all the running backs got hurt, right? Everybody at the top of the draft got hurt. And so I think there's this rebound. I mean, I'm the last zero RB guy in the world. That has never been my approach. I always have running backs valued the highest. It is where it's scarcest. It's where the fewest special players play. There are so many special receivers. There aren't that many special running backs. It's why the top of a draft should be running back, period, end of story. So I just think this is news to me. You're telling me that now nobody's going zero RB. Everybody's taking running backs.
I would say there's like usually 1 out of 12 teams that does it, as opposed to 3 or 4. And when 3 or 4 do it, by the way, it really hurts you. You know, it's like, you know, you want to do this alone. You don't want to have to do this with everybody else.
You know, my feeling is I have to do my combined overall ranks for the Almanac here and for the website here in the next week. I kind of stayed away as I write like 250 profiles.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you I used to write the magazine, the ESPN magazine? Like,
no, I didn't know that.
Yeah. The newsstand print magazine. I wrote the player profiles. I was the one who wrote all the profiles. And so that's where my Almanac came from. I was like, well, I used to do that. Let's do it. But sell it as a PDF, not as a magazine. And also because it's a PDF, I can just write a lot more. You've seen it. It's mostly a joke delivery mechanism, but there's also some analysis in it.
Okay.
so I'm focused a lot. You know, my days are mostly that, writing that and getting it ready. And so I'm fixing to put together my combined ranks for the first time here and putting them on the website and put them on in the Almanac. And I'm not going to have 11 or 12 running backs before wide receivers. No way. The running backs scare the bejesus out of me. Joe Mixon, love him when he's talented. He's really, really talented. But my God, he scares the bejesus out of me. There's definitely wide receivers that I will take in front of Joe Mixon, no question about it. So maybe this is the year where I'm going to look like the lesser RB guy. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. And that's just the thing. And we take away one off the top like Cam Akers. I mean, that already kind of starts the ball rolling. You know, level of scarcity.
Where was he on your list?
I think he was like 9 or 10.
Okay. I think I had him, I can't remember, either 11 or 12. I had Mixon out of him. Here's the thing. Some of the wide receivers crapped out last year too, right? Michael Thomas as the one got hurt.
Right.
And so I think different people feel bruised by different experiences last year. So many injuries, so many leagues. Basically, you were not competitive in because you lost your first 2 picks. It's just so many injuries.
Right.
Your larger point is the right one, which at least it's in my view, it's the way I approach it. Similarly, I agree with what you're saying, which is I don't feel like I get, if I'm at pick 10 or 11 or something, I don't feel like I'm locked in. I don't have a choice, guys. I got to take a running back. Like, that's not how I feel at all. I do feel that way at 4. You know, I do feel that way early. Those running backs can work out at the back, say, you know, the 8th, 9th, 10th best running back certainly can work out. I think Joe Mixon is a stud, but remind me again, what was his injury? They never really told us, right? They just said he hurt. He's in pain and didn't have surgery. They didn't really tell us. He just kind of kept not being on the field.
Yeah.
You know,
it was such a terrible year last year for some various reasons, but that was one of them there. It's kind of scary, you know, the fact that they didn't have to disclose that much too. And, you know, that's fine. I mean, HIPAA and all, and, you know, you don't have to, caring is creepy, but sometimes we need to know too. But yeah, it was week after week after week. You're absolutely right. That was the thing that was, you know, at least I can, you know, if I know, I can act accordingly, but we just didn't know. It was a foot injury, and then it's like, oh, we'll see next week. That was week 16, he's saying that. I mean, come on, Zach Taylor, stop doing that to us. But anyways, asking about you, how did you get into writing football, watching football, becoming a fantasy analyst? How did you get all the way to ESPN?
So I have an MBA. I got it pretty young.
Okay.
And then was kind of living in Austin and had businesses that kind of, they were okay. It was fine. Never really, like, I decided Austin was a little too hot weather-wise for me. So I wound up leaving and coming back to New England and being a creative director for an ad agency and working at a few dot-com startups and just kind of not being all that happy and really, really, really wanted to be a writer. So I wound up going back to school in my early 30s for creative writing, for an MFA in fiction writing, which was awesome and made me a better writer. And I've now published books, which is awesome. I'm very happy, thankful. And all I knew coming out of, they call that a terminal degree, an MFA. They call it a terminal degree for a reason. There's not a lot you can do with it. All I really knew was from my working experience in my 20s is I really didn't want to get a real job. And so I was looking around for a way to write. And Matthew Berry, his website was talentedmrroto.com.
Yes. Launched a ton of careers.
Right. They had a contest and I won the contest. And the reward for winning the contest, you wrote a column. Like I wrote a fantasy football column. I think it was like a waiver column. I like wrote a fake waiver column. Like it was, remember Chris Wilson, K-R-I-S, Chris Wilson.
Yes.
I remember in that column, I was like the Chris Wilsonification of fantasy football, where everybody just trying to out clever one another when Tony Gonzalez was in Kansas City. It's like not that smart. And the reward was to write for that website for no money. And then Yahoo saw my stuff and hired me to write for money. That was Brandon Funston.
Yes.
A very good friend of mine. And then Matt went to ESPN and said, hey, if you can get Yahoo contract, you can come to ESPN. And Brandon was you're pretty nice, Jeff. I'll say it's a tie between you and Brandon. It's the two nicest people.
You're too kind. Brandon is awesome.
Yeah, Brandon is an unbelievably nice human being. And he was like, listen, it's too good of an opportunity. You got to go. So we were the people who came in to ESPN, like the Pirates. You know, they gave us like no workspace. They didn't think it was a big thing. They took, you know, there was like a couple people who thought fantasy was going to be really big at ESPN, but everybody else was like, what?
Yeah.
And there was a lot of that. For a long time at ESPN, there's a lot of that, like, producers treating you bad, like looking down on you, thinking, what are you even doing here? And I was rough on TV at first. I'd never done it. You know, I was rough. I remember the very first ESPN news segment I did when ESPN news was really a thing. It was me and Nate Ravitz on set with, I can't remember who the host was. And I remember my parents taped it and watched it. And they were like, oh, that was good. You know, it was one of those. Oh,
my son's on TV. Yay.
I looked really nervous. But, you know, I did it about 1,000 other times. And now there's really nothing you can throw at me that I'm going to get nervous over. So I stayed at ESPN for 8 years. And then it was probably about time. It just felt like it was about time. So I left and started my own thing. Really not. I left not to start my own thing. I left just because I kind of was over it. It seems crazy to say, but it was like Groundhog's Day. Mm-hmm. Every year was like Groundhog's Day. There was no difference. My tasks were always going to be the same. They were fun tasks. It's really cool to be able to do this, but it just like, there was no, that was like, it was always going to be what it was going to be. And so I left and I just happened to leave like in August of 2015 and thought, okay, well, I always kind of wished I had a 5-day-a-week podcast to cover the NFL. So let's see what that would be like. Now, how do you make a podcast? How do you record it? How do you upload it? How do you host it? How do you promote it? How do you get ads? How do you do anything? I knew absolutely, absolutely nothing. And it came along at the right time and it worked out.
Yeah, it sure has. You got a huge following. You do the YouTube channel now too. And you know, your production value on the YouTube channel is something that I'm envious of because that's not a skill I have yet. And I think it's really cool. A lot of the work you do.
Well, can I just say that I do very little of it? I do the podcast by myself. I produce my own podcast, but
okay.
YouTube, I have two producers, Dave Piper and Dave Hewitt, both of whom are named Dave and both of whom live in Michigan. And so it strikes me that probably cousins without knowing it, but they're both wonderful human beings and they do all the production work. So any compliments about the way things look, like the content a lot of the time is me, and I noticed you didn't mention the content was good, but the look, I agree, is I'm just kidding. But the look is great. Like they do a wonderful film. You know, it's a lot of showing you NFL game film. It's a lot of, the reason we thought to do a YouTube channel was because the podcast is not visual. You know, I'm talking about plays, but not really being able to show people plays. And we have a great graphic designer who I, Dylan Magali, who I work with on, he does my almanac. He's done book covers for me. He's awesome. So he provides the Daves with tools to make the production values good. I'm glad you enjoy it.
Yeah, it's excellent. You guys should check it out. Check out the Harris Football channel on YouTube. Check out harrisfootball.com. What else can they see when they go to Harris Football?
I don't know, not much. I got ranks up there. YouTube channel, we actually haven't posted new content since we did the draft prospect videos.
Right.
Draft, but we're August 1st. We're about to go bananas and post a video every day, I think-ish. So yeah, people hopefully subscribe. That's the biggest thing, is people subscribe to that YouTube channel. It would help us a lot. At Harris Football, it's meant... Like, so I don't write articles anymore. I don't write about fantasy. I write for the podcast to say things, but I don't really write complete sentences. I write the almanac. I guess I write for fantasy a little bit, Jeff, but but I don't, there's no like regular articles or anything. That's, you can find ranks and you can find like descriptions of the podcast, and that's, it's kind of a, it's a, what a great website. I just manage it myself. I should probably have a bigger website. You guys have a big website.
You know, we have a lot of people doing that too. We started off as three people, and yeah, now we're like 35 full-timers, hundreds of people that do an article here, a team there, sport there, you name it. It's amazing how much it's grown. I used to do ESPN News also. You know, Carabel got me, Eric Carabel, another really nice human being, got me on Fridays. I'd go on with Brian Kenny when they were doing the hot list. I do the Fantasy 350, him or Michael Kim, another awesome, awesome person. Both of those guys, really love them both. And yeah, I was rough on camera too. One time I went up to Bristol, and that was a fun experience. I was right when Matthew was getting started there, actually. I don't know. Right. Somehow we didn't cross paths when I went up there, but
yeah. So I live where I am right now. You know that I'm in LA most of the year, but I have my place that I used to live in that I kept. I'm in Amherst, Massachusetts, which is, 75 minutes from Bristol. So
yeah,
the Amherst to Bristol express, I had to do that two times a week back and forth. It was a pretty massive undertaking, but sure. I certainly spent thousands of hours on that campus for sure, and have lots of good memories. And I mean, Carabel is awesome, and Tristan Cockcroft, awesome. Like,
yes,
you know, just super, super, super great guys.
Yeah, they are. They are really awesome. Hey, I kept you longer than I promised. So I want to thank you so much for coming on today. It was a lot of fun. Thank you for help launching a full week of podcasts here on RotoWire. And, hey, we're going to play some golf soon. We're going to play some poker soon, and we'll talk a lot more, I'm sure. I'm going to be on yours next week, so talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks for having me. It was really fun. Bye, everybody. Thank you.
All right, Chris Harris, everybody. Please go use winbet.com, WYNNBET.com, if you can bet in your locality. And thanks for listening. Have a great day.